Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Yuma Daf Chof Vov. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our home page. If you're already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked Daf Gemara before the shiur. If you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. We begin today's shiur 3 lines from the top of Daf Chof Vov at the beginning of the Mishnah. The Mishnah is a continuation of a series of Mishnayos that deal with the pious, the choosing of Kohanim for the Avodas Beis HaMikdash. HaPayas HaShlishi, the third gathering for counting, and hence choosing which Kohen would do what. So, Chadoshim Lakteres Bo'u Vafisu, the new Kohanim, meaning Kohanim that never had a chance to offer the Ketores, only those that never did Ketores, are together for determining who will do the incense offering. So, Bo'u Vafisu is a call to all the new ones, the ones that never had done Ketores before, to come gather and participate in the choosing. V'horavi, the fourth pious, Chadoshim im Yishonim, not only first-time Kohanim, but also those that have participated in Avodas HaKorbonos in the past, Mimala Evora Mina Kevesh Lamizbeach, who will carry the limbs that previously were put on the ramp, will now bring them from the ramp, the kevesh, the ramp, to the top of the altar where the fireplace was located and put them in the fire. We are, of course, dealing with the offering of the Tomid Shel Shachar and its accompanying requirements. And the Tomid Shel Shachar was basically an Ola offering, a Korban Ola, was a public Korban Ola, and as such, all of its limbs were burnt in the fire, as is the din, as is the law regarding a Korban Ola. Tana. And here the topic that we have on the side, Ketores Me'asheres. The Ketores has the ability to serve as means of enriching the one who does it. Tana me'olam lo shona adam ba. There was never someone that did Ketores twice. My time, other than us. Why is that? Amar v'chanina ne shim asheres. In the merit of doing Ketores, so one can merit wealth. And because of that, we want to spread it, so to speak, amongst as many as possible, and not bestow the honor upon the same person twice. Omer le Rav Papa Labaye, my time. What is the basis or the reason behind it being a source of enrichment? If you think it's because it says Yosimu Ketura Be'apecha Uksiv Basrei Boreich Hashem Cheloi, the psukim in Perek Lamed Gimel of Dvarim. There's Pasuk Yud and Pasuk Yud Aleph. So in Pasuk Yud it says, makes a reference to the Ketores. And in Pasuk Yud Aleph, reference is made to blessing, Boreich Hashem Chelo. Well, if that's the basis of, or the source for Ketores enriching, Ihachi Ola Nami Hoksiv, regarding the Ola, the Pasuk says in that same Pasuk, it says in Pasuk Yud, the Cholil Al Mizbechecha. The kolio means completely burnt on the mizbech, following which it says, Boreich Hashem Chelo. So that, are you going to say that for doing the korban ola also, which is a rather common type sacrifice, are you going to say that he who does that is merits enrichment? Omar le, ha shchicha v'ha lo shchicha. that one is common and one is less common. The Ktoras was only done twice a day. There were no voluntary personal Ktoras offerings. So logic would have it that that which is uncommon is that which enriches, as opposed to that which is common. So that this pasuk can in fact serve as the source, and as far as the question concerning the Ola, that's not in the running for as a source of enrichment by virtue of the fact that it is shchicha, it is common. Omar Rava, lo mishkachas tzur rabbanon demori, you won't find a Talmud Chacham, a Torah sage, that renders halachic rulings eladasi mishevet Levi oy mishevet Yisachar, other than those that that come from the tribe of Levi or the tribe of Yisachar. And the basis of that is Levi, Dichtiv. Regarding Levi, it says, in the same context, we're talking here about psukim from Vezois HaBrocha, Perek Lamed Gimel of Dvorim. It says, Yoiru Mishpotecho Liankiv. Regarding the tribe of Levi, the posuk that serves as the blessing for Levi, for the tribe of Levi, says he will be one who renders halachic rulings. Yisachar, Dichtiv, regarding Yisachar, there's a pasuk from in a different context, but it says, "Umibnei Yisachar yoidei bina lo'itin lo'das ma yase Yisrael." So, Bnei Yisachar is described as he who has knowledge concerning that which Israel shall do. In other words, rendering legal decisions. V'eimo Yehuda nami Dichtiv. Why not say that person who is a descendant from the tribe of Yehuda also is such, is a halachic decisor. The pasuk says, Yehuda mechokiki, describes Yehuda as the institutor of laws. So the Gemara explains, asuki shmaitzo aliba dilchaso koamina. When we referring to a tzum rabbonon, we're not referring to someone who studies law or formulates law, but rather it's someone who rules on law, so that that characteristic you don't find in the case of Yehuda. Now that, by the way, opens up an interesting discussion that we're not going to elaborate on right over here, but regarding Yehuda himself, maybe there's room to make a distinction between Yehuda himself versus his descendants, but the Gemara in Maseches Soita, and that same Gemara is repeated another time in the Shas, features a story involving the bones of the tribes being brought out of Egypt during the Exodus, during Yetzias Mitzrayim, and the bones of Yehuda were jumbled up. In other words, a full skeleton intact wasn't the case in regarding Yehuda. And to make the long story short, Moshe Rabbeinu prayed on behalf of Yehuda, and in the final stage of his prayers, the Gemara says that he not only merited being part of the heavenly Torah Academy, but he was also successful in being Masik Shmaitzo Ali B'Dilchasin, having his Torah learning be applied to final halachic decisions. So that having been said, that we can say is the case with regard to Yehuda himself, the son of Yankiv Avinu. As far as that story that the Gemara and Sota tells and its ramifications vis-a-vis his descendants, that might be a different story. That having been said, let us continue in the Gemara. Before we continue, let us look at the side under our Nose, a topic heading. We have Dino Shel Rabbi Yochanan. The law of Rabbi Yochanan, Ein Mefaisim Al Tomid Shel Bein Harbayim. A new counting, gathering of Kehanim for the purpose of deciding who does the Tomid Shel Bein Harbayim, the afternoon daily offering. That determination is not made by pious. The Gemara, after Rabbi Yochanan says what he does, will feature a number of questions, and they are illustrated by a series of triangles. You can see under our Mivneh heading, Kushos al Rabbi Yochanan. And we continue now in the Gemara. Amar Rav Yochanan, Ein mefaisim al tomid shel bein arbayim. A new counting for the tomid shel bein arbayim, for the afternoon daily sacrifice, which you can see, it basically is a sacrifice that, practically speaking, mirrors the morning daily sacrifice. So a new counting to determine who does it, who is not done. Now, for those of you who didn't hear yesterday's shiur, we saw in the Mishnah in yesterday's shiur that there were 13 kohanim that were chosen to offer the tomid shel shachar and its accompanying requirements. So Rabbi Yochanan says that a new counting is not done for determining who does the tomid shel bein arbayim. Elo kohen shezocha bo b'shachar zoche bo arvis. He who did his respective job in the morning of the regarding the tomid shel shachar, he will be the same kohen to do that same activity as applies to the tomid shel bein arbayim. So that if kohen X was chosen to do the zrikas adam of the tomid shel shachar, that same kohen X will do the zrikas adam of the tomid shel bein arbayim. Meisvei. Here you have an explicit source that says just like a counting and choosing was done for the Tomid Shel Shachar, the same thing for the Tomid Shel Bein Arbayim. The Gemara says, no, this isn't talking about the Tomid. Ki Tanyo Hahi Biktores. This is referring to the afternoon incense offering, the Biktores. And Rabbi Yochanan wasn't talking about that. Rabbi Yochanan was talking about the actual animal offering and not the Ktores. V'ha Tanya, but have we not learned in another source, K'shem shemefaisin loy shachris, kach mefaisin loy arvis. Now the word loy is a word in the masculine form. And as such, the masculine form applies to the tomid, the animal sacrifice, the daily animal sacrifice. So this source is saying that just like there was a counting, a pious for the tomid shel shachar, so too for the tomid shel bein arbayim. Now we dashed underline mefaisin lo arvis, and that is the question. That's the problem for Rabbi Yochanan. The Gemara answers emo law. State instead of the masculine form the feminine form law. And that could refer to the Ktores. Question, V'ha Tanya, but we have the following source, and we've highlighted with a double underline the word Kishem to highlight the two parts of this source. It says here, Kishem Shemefaisim, Kishem is just like, Kishem Shemefaisim Loi Shachris, Kach Mefaisim Loi Arvis, Ukshem Shemefaisim Lo Shachris, Kach Mefaisim Lo Arvis. Notice with our dashed underline, we highlighted mefaisim loy arvis. That the lo, as we remember before, is the masculine form. In this source, you have a reference to a masculine and feminine form. So, you can't change here and say something else when both forms appear. So, mefaisim loy arvis would be a reference to a separate pious for the tomid shel bein arbayim, contrary to Rabbi Yochanan. Omar of Shmuel bar Yitzchok, hocha b'Shabbos askinan. This source is talking about Shabbos on Saturday. And on Saturday, Rabbi Yochanan will acknowledge that a separate pious needs to be done for the tomid shel bein arbayim for the very simple reason, hoyol u'mishmoros mischachos. The mishmoros of the service groups of Kohanim. There's a changing of the guard, so to speak, on Shabbos, where he who did the morning service isn't present anymore for the afternoon service. So for the afternoon service, for the Tomid Shel Bein Arbayim, of course you have to have a separate pious. The Gemara continues, Ulamai, the Solik Adaitin Meikora, according to what we thought that the source was talking about a separate pious for the Tomid Shel Bein Arbayim, Nefishi Lahu Paisos. Then it comes out there are more than four paisos. The Mishnayos have taught us, we've learned in the past that there are four paisos. But if you're going to say that for the Tomid Shel Bein Arbayim there's a separate pious, that would mean you're going to add another counting gathering for the purpose of the Talmud Shel Berabayim, pushing the number beyond four paisos. The Gemara says no, that's not a question. In other words, we can maintain our Hava Amina, that there was a separate pious for the Tomid Shel Ben Arbaim. However, it wasn't a separate pious done at a separate time of the day. Maisi Kulhu Mitzafra, Asu Dezochu Be Shachris Zochi, Dezochi Be Arvis Zochi. So, all that needed to be done is that all were brought in the morning. All the Kohanim, even those that would eventually be chosen for the Tomid Shel Ben Arbayim, would gather in the morning. That's what Maisi means. Maisi is to bring Kulu, all of them, Mitzafra Asu. They came in the morning. Tzafra is the morning. He who, and then there would be a pious for determining the people, at that gathering, when the Tomid Shel Benhar, the Tomid Shel Shachar people were determined, there was a counting, a separate counting at that gathering, at that pious time, a separate counting was done to determine who would do the Tomid Shel Benhar Abayim. So we can preserve the Havamina, which presented a question on Rabbi Yochanan. Of course, Rabbi Yochanan answered the question by saying that the source, the last triangled source, isn't the question because it's dealing with the Shabbos case. We continue in the Gemara. Horavi chadoshim im yeshonim mi ma'ala evorim min akevesh lamizbeach. So our Mishnah has the opinion that the limbs were first placed on the ramp, and then later they were carried from the ramp to the top of the Mizbeach. And a separate group of people were needed for that stage, for the second stage of limb carrying. Masnisin delo kerebi Eliezer ben Yankiv. Our Mishnah is not in accordance with his opinion. Tisnan, Rebbe Eliezer ben Yankiv oimer. Hamale ivorim lekevesh, hu male oison lemizbeach. Rabbi Elazar ben Yankov says that the kohanim that were responsible for the first stage of carrying the limbs to the ramp, they were the ones to carry the limbs from the ramp to the top of the mizbeach. Thereby, no necessity for a separate pious for that purpose. B'mai komifligi, what's the underlying basis of this machloikis? Namely, according to our Mishnah, an entire separate group would carry the limbs from the ramp to the Mizbeach. In other words, increasing the number of people involved. Whereas, according to Rabbi Elazar ben Yankov, we don't want to have a separate group doing that. We want to have the original carriers from the slaughter site to the ramp. They should continue their role of carrying from the ramp to the top of the Mizbeach. So the Gemara explains, Morsov, our Mishnah holds, Beroiv Am Hadrus Melech, by the greater the multitude, the greater number of people, that increases the glory of the king. So having more people involved increases the honor to the Almighty. Umorsov, Mokoim Shechina, Lav Oirach Ara, where you are in the presence of the Almighty, so it's not Derech Eretz to have a separate group carrying it the rest of the way, because it would create the impression that it's a trouble, a tircha, a burden for those who did the first stage, to avoid creating that impression that it's a burden. We want to have the same people that carried it to the ramp should do the second stage of carrying as well to the top of the Mizbeach. Omar Rava, Lav Rebbe Elazar ben Yankov Islay Rebbe Yehuda. Rava tells us that we must make before we continue in this Gemara, we have to make an assumption that all Tanoim will agree that there were four paisos during the day. So Rava tells us that Rebbe Elazar ben Yankov, who says that he who was Malo Lekevesh would continue to ma'ala l'mizbeach, he doesn't hold from that which Rabbi Yehuda teaches. Rabbi Yehuda said that there was no pious for the machta. This we learned in our shiur, our previous shiur. This you could see at the top of Chof Hey Amid Beis, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Lohoya Pious Lamachta. There wasn't a separate counting to determine who would do the machta. Rather, he who was chosen to do the Torres would choose the one who was next to him. He would be drawn along. The one who would do the machta was drawn along with the one that was chosen to do the Torah. That's Rabbi Yehuda's opinion. So now, according to Rava, Rabbi Lezer ben Yankov, who said there was no separate pious for mina kevesh mizbeach, he will have to hold that there was a separate pious for the machta. Continuing in the Gemara, velo Rabbi Yehuda, and islay to Rabbi Lezer ben Yankov. Rabbi Yehuda, who said that there was no pious for the machta, he would not hold from Elazar ben Yankov. In other words, Rabbi Yehuda will hold that there was a separate pious for Minha Kevesh Lamizbeach. De'im Cain, if they were to hold from one another, Botsru Lahu Paisos. You would have too few, would have less, Botsru is subtracted, or less than the required number of paisos. And as we said, we're assuming that Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Lezer ben Yankov both agree that there were four paisos. How are you going to account for four paisos? How was Rabbi Lezer ben Yankov going to account for four paisos if there wasn't a separate pious for Min HaKevesh HaMizbeach? Answer, he will say there was a separate pious for the machta. Rabbi Yehuda, who says there was no separate pious for the machta, he will tell you there was a separate pious for Min HaKevesh HaMizbeach. The e mishkachas tana de toni chomesh. If you should run into a Tanaic authority that says there were five paisos, hahu de lo Rabbi Elazar ben Yankov de lo Rabbi Yehuda, he will be someone unlike, not holding from either Rabbi Elazar ben Yankov nor like Rabbi Yehuda. Hence, that tana would say, contrary to Elazar ben Yankov, that for the min hakevesh mizbeach there was a separate pious. And as far as machta, there was a separate pious for machta as well. Well, if you hold like that, you will find then there were a total of five paisos, of course, counting the other paisos that we've learned about. We continue in the with the Mishnah, second line from the top of Chof Vav Amud Beis. Tomid korev betisha basora b'chalasor b'shnei masor. The Tomid was offered from the point of Hoylochas Evorim. Now, the numbers we just saw in this Mishnah, that the Tomid is offered through 9, 10, 11, and 12 people, that is from the point of Hoylochas Evorim onwards. In other words, these numbers are not including the Shochet and the Zorek. So, we continue with the breakdown of the numbers. We're saying that depending on the time of year, holidays, etc., the number will span from 9 to a possible of 12 kohanim involved in the offering of the tomid. The Mishnah says lo pochos v'lo yoser, not less than 9 and not more than 12. Ketzad. Well, how do we account for that? So atzmo b'tisha. That means on a weekday, the daily weekday offering of the Tomid Shel Shachar would involve 9 Kohanim. And Rashi spells it out. You can see Rashi on the fourth line from the top, Asmo b'chol yom tisha, chamisha levorim, that's 5 for carrying the limbs, v'echod lekervayim, 1 for the innards, v'echod lesoiles, and 1 for the flour, which was part of the meal offering. V'echod l'chavitin, the Kohen Gadol daily sacrifice. V'echod l'yayin. That, if you add up the numbers, you'll find there are 9. V'ho, k'Rav Elazar ben Yankov, he, the less lay, chado l'halos mikevesh l'mizbech. And interestingly, this is like Reb Elazar ben Yaakov, that says that there isn't a separate group for carrying from the ramp to the Mizbeach. So that structurally, the Mishnah just before that said that there was a fourth pious for Minakevish Mizbeach, that Mishnah was not like Reb Elazar ben Yaakov, but according to Rashi, this Mishnah is like Reb Elazar ben Yaakov because we account only for 9 Klehanim on a daily basis for offering the Tomid Shel Shachar. And in order to reach the number 9 and not a greater number, it means that you're not involving a separate group of people for bringing Minakevesh Lamizbeach. So we continue in the Mishnah, Bechag. We wrote 10 above this because this is where 10 Klehanim will figure. Chag is the holiday of Sukkot. So that on Sukkot there was a special water libation. In addition to the standard Yayin, wine Nesachim offering, there was a water Niske Mayim, it was called. Bechag, Biyad Echot Sluchis Shel Mayim, Arei Kanasora. On Sukkot there was an additional claim for carrying the water to the top of the Mizbeach. It's Sluchis, a flask holding the water, giving you a total of 10 Klehanim. Beinu Arbayim, the Tomid Shel Beinu Arbayim, equals Bachadosar. 11 Klehanim for the Tomid Shel Beinu Arbayim. Hu Atzmo Betisha, the basic Korban was done by 9 Klehanim. Ushnayim, 2 more Klehanim to get you to 11. Shnayim Biyodom Shnei Gzirei Eitzim. In other words, the 9 Klehanim are, as we saw with regard to the Tomid Shel Shachar, however, in the Tomid Shel Arbayim, there are 2 more Klehanim, each one holding a wooden log for placing on the fireplace. The Mishnah continues. B'Shabbos, we're going to account for 11. There was B'Chadosar, Hu Atzmo, the Tomid Shel Shachar B'Tisha, Ushnayim, B'Yodom, Shnei Boziche Levoino, Shel Lechem Aponim. The Tomid Shel Shachar of Shabbos, in addition to the 9 basic Kehanim, 2 more Kehanim were needed for offering the Bozichim. There's a name, that's a type of receptacle that held the Levona, an incense of a spice that was kept on the table holding the lechem upon him, and on Shabbos spice was offered on the Mizbeach. There were 2 receptacles, 1 Kohen per receptacle, accounting for 2 more Kehanim, total of 11 for the Tomid Shel Shachar. U'b'Shabbos, Shabbosoch HaChag, it's Shabbos that falls out in the middle of Sukkot. You have what we just mentioned, the 11 plus the flask of water, Biad Echot Sluchis Shomayim, total of 12. Before we continue in the Gemara, we glance at the side under the Nosei, the topic heading, Nisuch Hamayim Bechag, the water libation during Sukkot, Bizman Tomid Shel Shachar, Velo Bevenu Arbayim, it was done in the morning and not in the afternoon. The Gemara, Omar Rabbi Abba, Vitemo Romi Bar Chamo, Vitemo Rabbi Yochanan. Different versions of who says the following. Well, in the meantime, we're going to go with Rabbi Yochanan. Ein Menaschin Mayim B'chag El B'tomet Shel Shachar. The Nisuch HaMayim, the water libation on the altar during the holiday of Sukkot, took place only in the morning. Mimai, from how do we know this? Mida Kotoni, from the fact that it says, U'b'Shabbos Shebesoch HaChag, B'yad Echod Tzluchis Shel Mayim. In order to get to the number 12, that maximum number of Kehanim involved in the offering of the Tumid, so we found Shabbos coinciding with Sukkot during the Tomid Shel Shachar, you would have in addition to the Shnei Bozichei Levoina, that's two more that were added to the basic nine, giving you 11. Then we had a 12th Kohen in the morning with the Tzluchas Shamayim. So that from the fact that the Mishnah says Ubishabas Shebesocha Chag Biyad Echot Tzluchas Shamayim, and that was in the morning, V'i Salkadaita B'Tomas Shebarabai Menaschin, if it were so that the Tomid Shelbein Rabayim would also have accompanying it a Nisuch Hamayim. Now let's just recount the Tomid Shel Bein Rabayim. How many offered it? So our Mishnah said the basic Tomid Shel Bein Rabayim, the weekday common Tomid Shel Bein Rabayim, involved 11 Kohanim. There were the Shnei Gzirei Eitzim that accounted for the additional two Kohanim, bringing it to a total of 11. Well, if the Tomid Shel Bein Rabayim on Sukkot had a Tzluchas Shamayim as well, so B'chol Nami Mishkachas Lo, you can get to 12 without coming on to Shabbos. You can have 12 during any day of Sukkot, not just Shabbos, any day of Sukkot, you'll have 12 Kohanim during the Tomid Shel Bein Rabayim, if there was a Nisuch Hamayim in the afternoon. But there isn't. That's Rabbi Yochanan's point. There isn't. So that when you want to get to the number 12, you're not going to get to 12 unless you come on to the Shabbos case, when Shabbos in the morning, along with the Shnei Bozichei Levoina, you also have the Nisuch Hamayim. Omar Rav Ashi, Ach Ana Nami Tanina. The following Tanaic source bears that out. It says, bears out that the Nisuch Hamayim took place in the morning. It says, and this is a source from Maseches Sukkah, it says, Ulemanasech Omer Lo Hagbei Yodecha. An announcement was made regarding the Nisuch Hamayim. They called out, raise your hands. In other words, we want to see you doing the Nisuch Hamayim. After all, he was way up there on the Mizbeach. The crowd was below. Things weren't so clear what exactly he was going to do. We want to make sure that it's clear. So we say, raise your hands. Shepam achas, because once upon a time it happened, Nisech al Gabi Raglov. There was a heretic Kohen that slipped in, and he poured the water on his feet. He didn't pour it into the tube, which is the required location for the Nisuch HaMayim, for the water libation. And because of that incident, there was a Tzeduki, a heretic, that these heretics, these Tzedukim Sadducees, they didn't believe in doing Nisuch HaMayim. It's something that is determined or is learned through the oral law, which is something they defied. So that incident took place where he had once poured on his feet, so as to prevent that from happening again, they insisted on raise your hand so we can see what you're doing. And what happened when he poured it out on that one time on his legs? V'ragmu kol ha'om be'esrogehem. And they pelted the nation, all the people there pelted him with their esrogim. Now, when is a person holding the esrog? He's holding it at the time that he would do the mitzvah. And when would he do the mitzvah's esrog? In the morning. So, if you see that the Nisuch HaMayim took place at that time of day, when they had their esrogim. Shema Mino. So this is conclusive, that Nisuch HaMayim was done only in the morning, with the Tomid Shel Shachar, and the Nisuch HaMayim of Sukkot was not done again with the Tomid Shel Bein Rabayim. Tanya, Reb Shimon ben Yochoi Omer. Before we continue, let's just glance at the side. We have a Nosea topic heading. We've written Shnei Gzirei Eitzim Shel Tomid Shel Bein Rabayim Al Yedei Shnei Kohanim Delo Kemo Shel Shachar. The Tomid Shel Bein Rabayim offering of the Shnei Gzirei Eitzim, the two logs that were added to the fireplace. That was done by two Kohanim, one log per Kohen, as opposed to the morning where only one Kohen was in charge of putting the two logs on the Ma'arocha. So we read the source, Reb Shimon Tanya, Reb Shimon Choy Omer, Minayin L'tomet Shel Ben Arbayim Shetton Shnei Gzirei Eitzen B'Shnei Kehanim. From where do we know that the afternoon daily sacrifice required two Kehanim for the two boards of wood? Shenemar V'Orchu Eitzim. That is the Pasuk, which says, and they set up the wood. Imeinu Inyan L'tomet Shel Shachar. If the Pasuk is not really necessary for the morning sacrifice, Dichtiv, there's a separate pasuk for the morning sacrifice where it says Uvir Oleh Hakain Eitzim Baboker Baboker V'Orach Oleha. So Teneu Inyan L'Tomet Shel Bein Rabayim. Now we should point out that the pasuk that deals with the Tomet Shel Shachar is in the grammatical singular form. It says V'Orach Oleha, and he, the Kohen, in the morning will set up the wood in the singular. The Pasuk that is designated for the Tomet Shel Bein Rabayim says V'orchu in the plural. They will set up the wood. And we're referring to the two boards known as the Shnei Gzirei Eitzen, two boards that were added to the fireplace. As we go on, we have a triangle, and on the side under the Mivneh heading, we simply noted that it's around the words V'ema. You'll see these are Hatsaot Chilufiot. These are alternative suggestions to that which we just learned. The Gemara, V'ema Idi V'idi B'tomet Shel Shachar. Why not say that both psukim are referring to the morning service? The Omar Rachmana Ovid, the Hodar Ovid. And the Torah is saying that there is an initial placing of the boards, and then a second placing of the boards. The Gemara answers, Im Kein Neimokra, the Pasuk linguistically, grammatically, should have used the same form of speech both times. It should have said, Ubi'er, Ubi'er. But it doesn't. In one Pasuk, you see it says, V'orchu Eitzim. In the other pasuk, it says Ubi'er Oleha. So it's then not a repeat ceremony in the morning. Otherwise, the same term would have been used. V'ema, well, why not say Dinavid Chad, Dinavid Trei? Now, to appreciate this, we look at the Rashi. V'ema Dinavid Chad Koyen Echod Yisader Shnei Gzirei Baboker. Why not say that in the morning one kohen sets up two logs or two boards? Dichtiv uvier oleh kohen. That was the pasuk in the singular. V'navitre, the Gemara had said navitre. That's shuv yoviu shnei kohanim lasu shnei gzirim od baboker. Kedichtiv v'orchu shnayim. So that you have really all both psukim are referring to two different types or different ways of offering, but both in the morning. The main issue is that there wouldn't be any Gzirei Eitzim at the Bein Arbayim. And as far as the change in speech, well, it's because there is a change. First, a singular Kohanim would bring two boards, and then two Kohanim would bring two boards, but everything in the morning. The Gemara says, if everything is in the morning, then still the language shouldn't have changed as it did. Im kein, neimo kra, the pasuk, just if the whole point is to reflect a change in numbers, in other words, first one Kohanim with two boards, and then two Kohanim, each one with one board, then the language of the pasuk should have been Uvi'er Ubi'aru. The word Bi'er has to do with burning. Bi'er the singular, Ubi'aru plural, two. Inami, or it could have been consistent using the word V'orach in the singular, V'orchu. My ubi'er v'orchu, why the change, the total, not only change in numbers, but the change in word altogether, why? Shma mina, ki deko amrinan. We therefore conclude, like we said, that in the during the Tumah Shel Ben Arba'im, you have an offering of wood, and not only that, but two Kohanim would do it, as opposed to the morning Shnei Gizrei Etzim, which was done by one Kohen. Tani Rabbi Chiya, Pious Pa'omim Shloishasar, Pa'omim Barsar, Pa'omim Chamishasar, Pa'omim Shishasar. The Tumah Shel Shachar sometimes involved 13. That we saw already in the Mishnah Daf Chof Hei Omen Aleph, the standard 13 Kohanim. Sometimes there would be 14. That would be the case on Sukkot. During the weekday of Sukkot, you would have an additional Kohen with the Tzluchas Shel Mayim for the Nisuch HaMayim. Pomim sometimes 15. That would be on Shabbos, where the Tumah Shel Shachar had its basic 13 plus the two Kohanim with the Shnei Bozichei Levona. So you go from 13 to 15. And Pa'omim Tezayin, sometimes 16, that would be Sukkot, Shabbos falling out on Sukkot, where you had, in addition to the Shnei Bozichei Levona, which pushed the number up to 15, you also have the Nisuch HaMayim 16. The Gemara asks, "V'ha Tanya Yud Zayin, is there not a source that says that sometimes it were 17? Well, Hahi Delo Kerab Elozer Ben Yaakov Elo Kerab Yehuda. That Tana would say that there was another Kohen for bringing the limbs from the Kevesh to the Mizbeach. That would account for another Kohen. And that's not like Rabbi Elozer Ben Yaakov. But rather, as we say, not like Rabbi Elozer Ben Yaakov. That would get you, that would then account for an additional Kohen for bringing the limbs from the ramp to the Mizbeach. Elo Rabbi Yehuda, he was the one, and we had said this at the very top of this Omid, that he would, he who holds that you have an additional Kohen for bringing the limbs from the ramp to the top of the Mizbeach, would hold like Rabbi Yehuda that there was not an additional Kohen for the Machta. The Mishnah. You notice we have a diamond highlighting the aisle and the par. How many Kohanim were necessary for offering these kind of animals? We will see that in the aisle required 11, and the par, the cow, would require 24. The Mishnah. Aisle Korev Be'achadosor, Abosor Be'chamisha, the limbs of the ram would be brought by five Kohanim. Hakirvayim V'hasoilas V'hayayin B'shnayim Shnayim. You have three elements. You have the innards, you have the solas, and the yayin would be done by a total of six Kohanim. The solas quantity of the aisle was two esronim. So each isaron had a separate Kohen offering it. And similarly with regard to the wine and with regard to the kirvayim, the innards. Par korev be'esrim v'arba. The cow offering was done by 12 Kohanim. Horosh v'horegel, horosh be'echod v'horegel b'shnayim. So when you're dealing with the head and the leg, you have the head was carried by one and the regel was carried by two Kohanim. Ha'oikitz v'regel, ha'oikitz b'shnayim, v'regel b'shnayim. Hechoze v'agera, hechoze b'echod, v'agera b'shloisha. The gera, which is involves a number of internal organs, that you require three people, three kohanim. Shtei odayim b'shnayim, shtei defanos b'shnayim. Hakirvayim v'hasoiles v'hayayin b'shloisha shloisha. That would account for nine kohanim. You have the innards and the flour and the wine of a par, greater quantities, so you needed a total of nine kohanim for those. Bamed v'amurim b'korbonas sibur. Everything that we've said that you need all of these kohanim for these animals is when you're dealing with a public sacrifice. Aval b'korban yochid, if you're dealing with a private person bringing his sacrifice, im rotzel akriv makriv, if one kohen wants to offer everything without pious, without any formal choosing, he can do everything. Hef sheton v'nituchon shel elu v'elu shovin. The Hefshit, the skinning and the dismembering of a yochid and a tzibur, a private korban and a public korban, were treated in the same way. The Gemara will open up with a topic, and we have a nosei heading: Hefshit v'nituach ksheirim bazar. The skinning and the dismembering can be done by a non-kohen. The sugya that appears here at the bottom of Chofavim Beis is a very long sugya, and it will keep us preoccupied for quite a while. And the markings that you see here will be used, as we said, for quite a distance. In other words, you will, starting here with the diamonds and double underlines, you'll see that these markings appear down Chof Zayin Amud Aleph as well. So as to, we'll say, not to break up a sugya in the middle, but in order to gain full appreciation of going through the entire sugya without breaking in the middle of the discussion, this would be a good place to pause. And Mirz Hashem, next time we'll start with the Gemara here, dealing with Hefshit v'nituach kosher bazar. And before we conclude, let us just remind you that if you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.